Ibra di testa, Tonali, gol! Sandro! Meritato! Sandro!
Hello everyone and welcome to an emergency episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined by top row Madison.
It's great to be up here, man. The view's way different.
It is. It genuinely is. Stefano is joining us from the B team.
Great to be back.
Lorenzo's joining us from the C team.
I was waiting for that. Yeah, I would say it's great to be back before that comment. But hey, we've got a new club to support now. So, you know.
Yeah, much love, boys, for coming on and talking during this difficult moment. Sometimes our podcast tends to double up as a therapy session, a bit of counselling, you know. It gives us an opportunity to talk things through as friends, as colleagues to an extent, and really get us in a better headspace than what we were before. Now, we record, obviously, one episode per week. This week, we recorded on Monday, and all hell broke loose in the hours after the podcast was released. I don't think we've ever uploaded one that has become out of date so quickly. There was even me going on a rant about how stability was going to be our biggest weapon going into the summer, and it just literally all fell apart within hours. We felt like we couldn't wait until next Monday to do another one. We've got some issues we need to address. However, we're not going to go full rant for 40 minutes. There is going to be a bit of order to this. But if you've been living under a rock, Paolo Maldini and Ricky Massara have been sacked as the technical director and sporting director of AC Milan. Before we go into things in a bit more order, what was your initial reaction to hearing the news that they were going? Maddie, I'll start with you.
Fuck Jerry Cardinale. That was right. My initial reaction. Who the fuck does this guy think he is, firing Paolo Maldini, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what went wrong in that meeting that warranted Paolo getting fired?
Mm-hmm. Natural reaction, Steph?
Easier to say the club is doomed, but I didn't want to jump onto that. It was more the worry that what does this mean for the players that who are here that he's worked in renewing, let alone the fact that it shows a lack of ambition, because we know Maldini wants what's best for the club and to get us back to where we want to be. So there's twofold. It's the players that are still here and the ambition of the summer market and the markets ahead of that, that they're both fucked.
And Lorenzo.
I mean, I was shell-shocked. I was completely and utterly shell-shocked. My initial reaction was, why blow up a project that's seemingly working and working quite well, that's on the right path? That was it. It was, let's press the self-destruct button. That was my initial thoughts.
Yeah, self-destruct button. I did see that used quite a lot on social media. We're going to come back around to what led up to that moment where we were all so surprised to hear that Maldini and Cardinale clearly had irreconcilable differences. But I wanted to do things in a bit more of a structured way. And I wanted to start by sort of doing Maldini and Massara some justice in terms of the work that they've done. It seems right now that the year has come to an end, that we look back and make assessments on what they managed to do. So first of all, you've got the fact that they made 34 signings during their tenure, which lasted for 4 years as the technical director and sporting director. You can't really argue with the fact that they put the entirety of this young core in place. You've got Mike Maignan, you've got Malik Chow, Fikayo Tomori, Pierre Kalulu, Teo Hernandez, Tonali, Benacer, Salamakers, Liao. You know, all these players have made worthy contributions since they arrived. You've got the contract renewals that were done since they were here. So Teo, Gabir, Pobega, Tomori, Krunic, Tonali, Kalulu, Benacer, Giroud, Liao, Pioli as well as head coach. They all renewed since the start of last year. They did good work with a limited budget early on in their time. And I think that it would be wrong not to mention the fact that Kessié, Romagnoli, Calhanoglu and Donnarumma all left on free transfers. So they drew a bit of heat for that. Not every signing was a hit either. You know, for all the good players that we've mentioned there, there was the likes of Mandzukic, Pellegrini, Lazetic is yet to really make an impact, Diketa Lara, Swaliho Mete. Before we go into that 2022 summer window, though, which deserves its own thing, everything up until then, were you happy with based on what I've just said?
Yeah. Up until this past summer, yes.
which we will come on to because it does deserve its own thing.
Yeah, there's context, I think, to it. The signings, no, this summer, but up until that point, yes. But, you know, you can only sign as well as the money that you have allocated to you as well. So based on their restrictions that they have to work against, they've done a great job up until this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree, up until this summer. And I think for me, what's been revealed is that unfortunately for Italian clubs and lots around Europe, there's just less margin for error. That's basically what I've learned in this. You know, I think overall it wasn't 100%, but it was a 60, at least 70%, you know, positive. We'll discuss that later on, but that's not good enough. They need 90 or 95 is kind of what I'm understanding. So yeah, good up until this summer overall.
Yeah, Maddie's ducked out. Hopefully he rejoins us in a second. The achievements on the field were trending in the right direction as well. Now, obviously, this isn't only down to the directors. The players on the field deserve their own portion of credit for this, as does Stefano Pioli too, you know, for doing the best with what he had to work with. As mentioned, things trended up. After lockdown, we went on one of the longest unbeaten runs in the club's history. We went from being in the lower portion of the table when Marco Giampaolo was sacked to then being in the Europa League. We secured European football again, which we didn't think was possible at one point. Then the next season, we secured a Champions League return for the first time in 7 years. Took it right down to the final day, but we got it done with the 2-0 win against Atalanta. And then the season after that, obviously, Scudetto, incredible, ended an 11-year wait for a title. And we were knocked out in the Champions League group stages, but still it was good to kind of dip our toes in and remind ourselves what's needed to compete with the elite sides in Europe. So I think it would be fair to say that the improvement in transfer business was also met by an improvement in what we saw on the field. So far, so good at this point. Right? Yeah? So then we move on. This is where the warning signs begin for me. And you can jump in if you think that I'm wrong. We just won the league title on May the 22nd. 4 days later, Maldini did an interview with Gazzetta dello Sport in which he basically highlighted how much we've still got to do. He reiterated the need for more investment in the squad. He basically said as well that he felt disrespected that he hadn't been contacted yet regarding his renewal. He kind of praised his own work, saying that he had a higher budget in mind that he would operate under. And he also mentioned the need for a mix between youth and experience. It was kind of the first glimpse that we got that not everything was harmonious. In the backdrop to all of this, you've got the fact that the club had just been sold or were just about to be sold. 4 days after that interview, the club was sold officially to Redbird Capital Partners, who were obviously Jerry Cardinale's mob. I think that interview was pretty telling in that we learned that Maldini was looking for more authority. Agree?
Yep.
I mean, the outcome is we wasted a month last summer because of this.
Yeah,
we waited all of June. I'm sure you'll get onto this in the target.
This is it. Yeah, no, you go for it now because I was just going to say the bigger warning signs were the fact that it took 1 month and it took them right up until the deadline of their previous contracts for us to finally see Maldini and Massara renew. What did that say?
It was an alignment.
Trouble in paradise.
Mm-hmm. You know, sorry, I'm not going to keep you interrupting. I'll let you go first, Maddie. Gone.
They clearly weren't on the same page, and there's probably been rocks since then, right? And Jerry probably just took his chance to go in the direction that he wanted, and we all kind of saw how last summer played out without Gazidis. I guess Gazidis was still here, but probably with a more limited role because he was getting ready to retire. And we just, you know, maybe Paolo, they didn't want to give him a bigger budget because they weren't sure if he could be trusted.
I think it's two ways. You've got one party who has an idea of how this club is going to grow. Let's talk about like Cardinale and probably you know, Elliot before him, they see a slower trajectory to our growth, which comes with sustainability on spend and income. And then you have one man who sees us win the league as a massive springboard and take that by the, you know, the bull by the horns and double down on it, which many clubs, especially in Italy, have done. Inter Milan have done that. Juventus have done that. Napoli will probably do that as well. Why aren't we doing that? And then, so there's no alignment there. And then there's a second conversation, which we'll go into in the summer, that he, the players that he signed with the money, he had to obviously bite his tongue there, come to an agreement. It took ridiculously a month to get that done. But that's both parties' problems because there's no alignment. And then with the money he was given, the signings were whack. So, you know, there's accountability on many fronts, but it stems from the ambition of the owner.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to probably echo pretty much most of what we're all saying, because I think we're all pretty much on the same page. But it's clear that the negotiations, we're kind of finding a bit more about the details of that. Maldini wanted autonomy. He wanted to control everything, which Cardinale gave him for one season, which obviously happened to be his worst transfer window. But for me, I think now we retrospectively look back and we think actually the Scudetto win is probably a double-edged sword, in the sense that I think Redbird, Elliot before and Redbird now, had a very clear vision that we were going to maybe win a Scudetto in 4 or 5 years' time, very gradually doing this model. We won it earlier. That didn't change the vision of Elliot and now Redbird at all, but it changed the vision of Maldini and Massara, because as you guys quite rightly said, and the other teams have done it, you win, you have to consolidate that. You've got to invest in that. We've won one trophy, to win more, you've got to invest. They're not interested in that. They're interested in sticking in their path, you know, their business plan, if you will, from an executive point of view that hits these points, and that's what they want to do. And unfortunately, those have not aligned quite clearly. So
on that as well comes the ambition of fans. Now, us as fans, we win the league, we want to see us do it again. You know, if we had a squad that did it last year, why can't we add to that and build to that and win it again? And then, look, as well, there's context, and we all know about the FFP restrictions. We know that as well. So we're not dumb. We're not expecting 100 million euro markets, but we're also not expecting 35 million euro markets when you just won the league or you got Champions League qualification. When we're being told by Paolo Maldini himself saying that we need back-to-back qualifications to spend this money. Really spend more than...
But to be fair, they spent money. They brought in loan players. They brought Adley back, Pobega back, brought in CDK. Adley didn't play. CDK looks like a pile of dog shit. Bronx didn't play. Pobega, like, he's like shown very brief moments, more than CDK. So like, you can say that ownership and Maldini gave it a go last summer, and Maldini showed what he could do. He can't, you know.
Before we dive into summer 2022, because that is on the list. Don't worry. But I want you all to cast your minds back to July the 1st of last year, when they had officially renewed their contracts as directors of the club. Did you at that point think of Maldini in particular as being like a guarantor for the project? So the fact that he's renewed is good, because that shows that the conditions are right and there is optimism and there is ambition.
Yes.
Yeah, I did a video on this. I said yes, 100%. Yes. We may not have saw it that summer because the transfer of the ownership, and obviously it would have been Elliot's money being spent. I wasn't hopeful for winter. That didn't happen. But Christ, we got Champions League this summer. I thought, this has got to be the transfer market where this will be them indicating that we're here to fucking double down on this. But yeah, it all comes from Maldini. Yeah, he's buying into the project and the players buy into the project. It's got a knock-on effect, a domino effect, but clearly not.
But I mean, we got over the hump ultimately. If there were some tensions and some differences in those month-long negotiations, they eventually reached a compromise and we're able to move forward together. And Inter wasted a bit of time, but admittedly they signed just in time for when the transfer window opened. It was a really important summer that we had, you know, for all the reasons mentioned already to this point. Coming off the back of a Scudetto, we want to get further in Europe, take advantage of being pot one for the Champions League draw, and we actually got a kind of favourable draw on that front. We had obvious gaps that we needed to plug in the squad. You know, it wasn't like we were just stabbing in the dark and hoping that the team would get better. Now we can go on to the 2022 summer window, which I think if the renewal negotiations were a bit of a warning sign, I think this was the first major strike against Maldini, probably, if we're tallying them up for what eventually struck him out. It wasn't good, was it, in hindsight? It wasn't good. It sounds like there's a couple of papers that have reported that the decision to spend around 70% of the money available on one player drew some confusion from Redbird. We knew that we needed to invest in the forward department, but we invested in a player who has shown himself to not be ready yet. I think we all expected that Divock Origi would perform better. I think he's a bit of an outlier to this window in particular because he was the proven one. I say proven, there's context to that as well. But then you've got Vronks, you've got Dest, you've got us thinking Pobega is going to be able to replace Kessie in some way. Obviously, you've got Serginio Dest arriving on what was essentially an emergency loan. I wasn't that excited after our last summer window, but I think we were all willing to give it a bit of time. Disaster in hindsight.
I think it's shown to be a disaster given what happened this week and how much pressure was actually put on the last transfer window.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's an issue with spending 70% of your budget on one player pending that turns out. It's like risk versus reward. Like we've sat here many times in previous summers going, why are we buying four players for 70 million euros each? Like, we all wanted starting quality and we thought we were getting starting quality, but he's not starting. So that's the risk versus reward there. You spend the money on that player, you got to make sure you guarantee, make sure that he plays and he has an impact onto the starting 11. The guy didn't score a single goal all season. That's embarrassing. And it makes Maldini look embarrassing. And we can't hide behind the fact that the window was trash. You know, bar Malik Chow, which that comes from Moncada scouting, and a good deal taking advantage of Schalke getting relegated. The rest of it, even signing Macias outright, not good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone could argue Maldini is in no way infallible. And I think as a player, you can get away with down seasons, but we're not talking about a player position. We're talking about corporate, cutthroat, boardroom, executive positions where mistakes, which again, this is all hindsight, it's all retrospectivity that we're looking at here, but that's what we're here to do and analyze. It was crap. Yeah, 100%. And to spend 35 million on one player and him be, quite frankly, although I'm a massive advocate for him, shit, not scoring a goal is just ridiculous. I think for me, the biggest surprise is that I thought he would be given a little bit more chance. He's not infallible. He made loads of mistakes. We know that, but he's done pretty well. But unfortunately, that's not good enough. It's just not good enough in a corporate environment, which effectively that's what it is. And that's especially with the new ownership. It's American business we're talking about here now. That's just what it's like. You either perform or you get out. And he didn't perform in the parameters he was given, which whether it's unfair or not, that's the facts. And that's where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, on that, there's context to the point of like he wasn't given a ridiculous amount of money to spend. It wasn't as if we're going to blow the budget. And I get that, but it's also we've not gone into more debt because of that market. He was given a cap. He spent under that cap, and he didn't deliver within that cap.
Yeah.
I mean, that's context. That's a side context because you can argue that cap is bull crap. Mm. But at the same time, it wasn't given like Todd Boehly like 600 million euros amount of money to spend. And look at that. Mm-hmm. Jesus, like that guy's not getting fired, whoever's the fuck signing all those players. But like this guy spent 50 million euros, which probably gets you one player in the Premier League these days.
But we're in Italy. There's no
margin for error. I agree, man. But at the same time, geez, man, look at you.
It's sad. Yeah, baby. Absolutely. It's cutthroat.
Yeah. And I think there's other layers to this.
But also, I mean, Todd Boehly has money to spend like a madman. Jerry doesn't, right?
Yeah, Jerry's not actually that rich.
And yeah, like, but then, is this even his money? Is this even his money that he's spending?
Yeah.
That makes it even worse.
Worse, yeah, I agree.
Isn't this the remedy of the club make?
Maybe when Jerry came, he didn't even want Maldini here in the first place, right?
Mm.
But he did not want his first act as owner, even though it kind of turned out that way, to be firing a club legend. Last summer turned out very poorly. If it had turned out good, Maldini may still be here. But like hindsight, you know, maybe it's best that he isn't here. And it just is really shitty the way that it turned out.
Mm-hmm. On the
way it went down.
On the budget thing. So we had the highest net spend of any Italian club last summer, but that doesn't mean an awful lot because it wasn't the highest spend. It's just that we don't sell any players, which is something we'll come on to about selling players. But during that month of negotiations in June, up until Maldini and Massara renewed the contract, there must have been some discussion with the new ownership that were incoming and with Elliot as well, because there was the intermediary period, about what the budget was going to be for the summer. And either they lied to Maldini and said he was going to have more money to work with, or they told him exactly how much money he was going to have to work with, and he still signed the contract and said, I can do a job with that money. And he didn't do a good job with that money.
Right.
Fair comment?
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, great. one of the other things that I've got written down has been potentially problem. Well, actually, before we move on to this,
I agree, but look at the knock-on effect. That's bullshit, because like Maldini's promised these players ambition, and this is where I get pissed off, because if he's promised players to buy into the project because of the ambition he's getting fed from the owner, and now he's gone, this is where I've got the biggest issue with that, because someone's fucking lying here, and it's clearly him to keep things sweet for a year, but there's a knock-on effect because these players ain't renewing without Maldini.
We don't
know
that.
Now he's gone. Huh? We don't know
that. We don't know that. Maldini couldn't renew our golden boy, Gigio. Maldini couldn't renew Kessié or Hakan.
Yeah, but like, it's common knowledge that these were Maldini's signings. Like, he signed these players. Like, he's got a rapport with these players. And we know, come on, we see this. Teo Hernandez, he literally flew out the fucking, was it Ibiza to go get him or something like that.
Teo, big time, is heartbroken. It's very evident.
Rafa Leao. Mignon, like, come on, man. Like,
they've all been vocal on social media as well.
Okay, so
it.
Maybe
they can stay, yeah. They might stay because they're under contract. And they might push a transfer request where we can actually get some money because Maldini's done the work to get these guys extended. But this situation probably doesn't happen. I don't know. Maybe it's the best out of a shit situation because at least we get some money with it if we sell these players rather than
they're not leaving.
They can put a transfer request in.
We don't know
they
that.
Could, but they're probably not going to.
It depends what happens in the next couple of months.
They all love the city. They all love the team.
We hope.
Stay here for one person.
No, but he's more than one person, though, isn't he?
It's a sign of lack. For me, it's not just the one person. Sacking Maldini and then also subsequently Massara indicates a lack of ambition. And that's a club.
We don't know that.
We
look, I understand why you think that, but maybe maybe Jerry's ambitious, but he did not want Maldini to be the one who's taking that. Because
I'll cast my judgment in. Look, this is the thing. We'll come back. We'll probably have to pick this up at the end of August.
Right. Yeah.
Agreed.
But based off knowledge of this guy, previous spend, and the ambition of the guy he just sacked, it doesn't leave me with confidence to think that he's going to come
previous
out of nowhere.
He's had one transfer window underneath his belt. And he wasn't even owner yet last summer.
No, I'm not even counting last summer. I'm talking about like winter. Christ, didn't go and put a penny in when we had issues.
He was still feeling it out, man. You can, you know, you got to give the man a chance. He's been owner less than a year. We made it to the semifinals of the Champions League, and we still finished top four with an asterisk next to it. Thank you.
That's also fucking,
Teo Hernandez put on his Instagram profile, sad to say goodbye to someone who trusted in me and helped me become the player I am today. I wish you all the best and may life bring us back together. Now, I understand what Maddie's saying. They don't sign for Maldini, they sign for Milan. But I think that's just an example of that he played more than a role as just a technical director. He was a mentor and guide for quite a lot of these players. He was a close confidant. Maldini and Massara were every training session watching on from the sideline. Maldini would go on and collar one of them. There's pictures of it, and he would give his advice and stuff. But whether you agree with that or not, whether you see that as encroachment or not, they mostly loved him. We know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. The fallout from this is obviously going to be something that we discuss a little bit later on. Just on the transfer thing, do you think that Maldini's record got worse as time went on? Summer 2019 was a real hit. You know, we got Teo, we got Liao, we got Bennacer, we got Crooney. Like we basically revamped our squad that summer. It started badly the season because of Gianpaolo. But then as the windows went on, January's aside, because we never really did an awful lot of business bar Tomori arriving and bar a couple of short-term deals for strikers, did things get worse with the more power that he got? Some pause for reflection.
It's a hard one because we sit here saying this now that obviously we signed Liao with a lot of money, so there was talent there, but obviously I'm not trying to compare him to CDK, but he didn't come in and he wasn't a starter. There was a lot of time where he was a bench option to Rebic. This summer will come with context depending on how CDK grows next couple of years, or an Adley grows next couple of years, or like the other players. I'm not going to sit here and say Origi's going to smash it next year or anything like that, but we're sitting here judging a 2019 summer transfer window, a 2020 transfer window, with years in the bank, knowing how these players have developed through years of experience. We can't give that validation to the players signed a year ago.
It's too early.
That's fair.
Yeah. And at the same time as well,
Jury's
still out. And don't get me wrong, CDK, and I'm the biggest advocate for that, was awful this year. And I can't sit here and say he's going to get any better with the lack of confidence he has, especially right now. Probably the guy got Maldini sacked, the signing that got Maldini sacked.
That's the title started.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it's a hard one to say. But with the year, I guess the context is 2019, there was no ambition from fans or the club. It was just like survival and try to get top four. We've won the league now. We've got top four. The ambition's changed. And with that, the pressure changes. So then those signings have to hit much more faster. That's the difference.
Do you think that this is a bit separate to the transfers? Do you think that we didn't read enough into at the time the fact that Gazidis stepped down and was replaced by Ferlani as the CEO? So I don't think any of us have any problems with the fact that Gazidis decided not to renew his contract. He's had
a lot of his health conditions.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably exhausted. The guy needs a break. He's not picked up another job elsewhere. He's still on a break. So fair dues to him.
Saw us at Chelsea and you thought, nah.
But yeah, I remember bumped into him. That's funny.
I think a lot of clubs in that circumstance, because of the importance of the role and the path that we were on, with revenues going up and so many important deals to negotiate, a new stadium to build and everything, an ownership change to try and be the transitional guy for. I think a lot of people in that circumstance would probably go for would go for an external hire. We very much went for a guy that Elliot and subsequently Redbird knew in Giorgio Ferlani. He'd worked as a portfolio manager at Elliot, and then he'd moved on to the football side of things. He'd been around for a little while before he got the promotion to CEO. At the time, we just thought, okay, natural move, Ferlani comes in. Might that have been a bit of an indication that things were about to change? Yeah. He's a different guy to report to.
Yeah, I think so. Again, I put my business hat on. I don't think anything of this is new. I think the combination of Jerry's business plan would probably have had all this detail, maybe not sacking Maldini, but you know, the plans or the steps of bringing his people in at some point, year one, year two, year three, would have been part of whatever was presented to Elliot to allow Elliot to sell the club to Jerry. I don't think business works, especially at a high level of football. We're talking lots of money. I don't think things change like that. I think they would have been implemented for a long, especially we're looking at these guys. They've got a very clear idea of what they want to do. That didn't happen overnight. He obviously was in bed with Billy Bean and all these guys that we'll go on to speak about later. Such a stupid name.
That is a title as well, isn't it? Billy Bean.
In bed with Billy Bean. And yes, I just don't think for one moment that this is new. Maybe aspects have changed, but it's quite clear that these things have been implemented for as part of the overall project that Red Bull wants to put forward. So, yeah, I think now we can look back and think Ferlani was a snake in the grass, if you like.
No disagreements from the other two members of the panel.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can read it however you want, I guess. we'll really like never know.
This is like all hindsight and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Why are we even bothering doing this? I suppose.
Because it's like, surely back then it'd be like, okay, logically, yeah, you get someone that he knows in versus with complement that with someone who knows the league and the club, like Maldini. Like, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it could be read in a positive way and also a negative way. So
yeah, I'm not trying to imply that, there was some backstabbing that was about to happen or anything. I just think it's interesting that in hindsight, Fellaini was the guy, and then he took very much a backseat up until this summer when bang, he's not only the new CEO, he's the guy who's signing off everything moving forward, and he's got an even more prominent responsibility now. Maybe that was always the path that was seen, is what I'm trying to say.
And I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to bring one thing on. You might actually be leaning on to this next point, but just because I need to shoot in a few minutes, so in case I don't manage to say it, is I want to talk about the aspect of egos. And I think that is incredibly important. You've got, again, someone who claims to be an American whiz of some description, part of a very successful investment group, who's a billionaire, that basically when you get to that level, you do think you know best. That's just a fact. When you deal with that kind of money and you're in those circles, you think you know best. And on the flip side, you have someone who is a sporting god, a sporting success in Maldini, who thinks he knows best because he is one of the most successful and respected footballers in history. Plus, he's got the deity-like surname that is embedded in the DNA of Milan, which adds another layer. Mm-hmm. When you've got these two egos going at each other, I would imagine that there was never some kind of peace, because you've got one guy who owns the club saying, I know how to do that. And you've got one guy going, well, my father played for us. My son plays for this club. I've won this club so much. I know best. That's...
blows up eventually, and that's where we come on to what I think was...
Good thing he's an American billionaire, because if he was an English billionaire, he wouldn't have that ego, right?
Oh no, he'd have a worse ego.
Yeah, it'd be worse. Based on my limited interactions, zero with English billionaires.
English billionaires.
I'm reading the stuff about Jim Ratcliffe and I'm thinking, oh my god. Egos leads us on to this thing, and if you have to dash, Lorenzo, cheers.
Yeah, I've got
cheers
a few more joining. Minutes.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
The point where I believe, based on the information that we have, and it was stuff that we couldn't publish at the time, and I don't think it needs too much reading between the lines either. The point where everything came to a head was that interview that he gave after the second leg against Inter. He came out and said some really interesting stuff, did Paolo Maldini too. It was Sport Media set as well, so congratulations to them on an incredible scoop. He said about the games against Inter, the gap is real. It hasn't been a contest in the last four games against them. Today we played a bit better, but it was compromised by the first leg. Inter's way of playing bothers us, and we're unable to find countermeasures. Then we've also struggled against teams less strong than Inter in the recent period. Personally, I took that as a massive dig at Stefano Pioli. We've since learned that Maldini was perhaps looking to change the head coach at the end of the season. But he said, we don't have the countermeasures tactically to deal with Inter, and we're also struggling against shit teams. That was a bit of a dig at Pioli. I don't see any way that you can interpret that any other way.
It was fucking deserved. Like,
it was bad.
Anyway, go on.
He also went on to be asked how he would rate Milan's season if we secured qualification for the next Champions League. And he said it would be an 8 out of 10. We've since gone on to learn that Cardinale does not necessarily agree with that rating, which is obviously his rating because we did get Champions League with an asterisk. He went on to add that we are not yet structured to compete in two competitions. He went on to add... you know, we told the press and our owners that we're not yet structured to compete in two competitions. They know it very well. It's a path that has brought great sporting and economic results. And he went on to ask for investment in the squad. He said, being back at this level must be exploited, also economically, by investing to stay in the top four and to do well in Italy. The most alarming comment was probably when he was asked about Charles de Ketelaere, and he said, it would have been much easier and much less expensive for us to go for Dybala. Would it have been the right signing for our project? Would it have been shared by our owners? No. We know we have an idea to build a young and talented team. I think all that came together to be like, this guy's unhappy with how things are at the moment. That was the most emotional that I'd seen Maldini since that interview last May. I thought it hinted at an awful lot of problems. And as mentioned at the start, we know now the information we had at the time in the days after that interview was given was that the higher-ups at Redbird did not appreciate that at all. You know, they did not. Part of the reason they like Stefano Pioli is because he never really goes that against the grain. He always maintains this professional demeanor. So Matt, call him a yes man. Yeah.
I was going to say, he's a yes man.
Maldini came out and put out a lot of challenges, basically. What do we think about that interview in hindsight? Do you agree that that might have been the final straw?
No, I mean, I'll just go, fuck it. There's many things to this. I'd rather someone says it how it is. I hate when Pioli comes out and is like, oh, the first 7 minutes that you know were better than us, but the rest we like, you know, let's just don't bullshit us. Like, as fans, we can see what the issues are, and the fact that Maldini says it how it is. And there's also a piece on not airing dirty laundry, but it's, we all know this. We all know Milan and the heritage, and this guy speaks for fans. So, like, the fans are not going to disagree with that. Yes, it's a more of a, it's got business implications, and then there's pressure comes with that. And then is that a thing that sides Maldini with the fans? And then it's like, if something happens to me, like this has happened, it's you that's going to get the, you know, the fire for it. But there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. It shows ambition, and it's what we want to hear. If it was something completely off the grain in the sense of like, I don't know, we want to be winning this competition next year, then come on, you're absurd. The guy's spewing facts. He's just saying, look, for sustainability and to compete on multiple fronts, which just isn't, it's a big ask, because we know not many Italian clubs can do that. Inter couldn't do it. You know, what's the level of competing? Is it just getting top four and then getting far in the Champions League, or winning the league and not getting far in the Champions League? Competing is at least, you know, let's say like get to the quarters and then win the league and then get somewhere quite far in the cup. There's a level to it, but like, Maldini's just asking something which is clear as day, that the squad depth is crap because the investment's crap. And we can't compete in multiple fronts because the squad's crap.
And the manager's crap.
And yeah, look, there's another bit with the manager. We're purely,
there's
man.
A limitation there. There's a limitation, like, there, let's be honest.
There's always a ceiling. Yeah.
Let's put it this way. Let's say we go into the summer, a lot of us thought that Pioli was going. Let's say, you know, Pioli was going to get sacked and we get new coaching. Management structure stays as it is. Would the impact on the players be less than what it is right now with Maldini going and purely staying? I think it does.
Good question. I think the impact is probably less, but you have to ask them.
Because the impact is less
with Maldini leaving than Pioli leaving?
Yes. It would be less with Pioli leaving.
Pioli leaving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure I'm saying.
Because we know, look, we know some of these players love Pioli, like Rafa loved Pioli, but at the same time, you understand for a sort of a tactical change that's required, and then to even probably get the best out of the players that he's not getting the best out of, like your Adleys and your CDKs and your young players, which we know that Pioli's not given the right chances to because there's no alignment between the signings.
Apparently, he does develop young players well, according to Cardinale's own words.
We know the guy's in the job right now still because he's a yes man, he doesn't piss off management. But what the players are buying into the club is A, the fans, and B, the ambition to get the club back to where it's going to get to. And sacking the guy who resembles that ambition is going to piss off the players more than the guy who's just the yes man.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hinted to there. Do you think that throughout this, there was a lack of cohesion between Pioli and Maldini, and maybe higher up than that when it came to the signings to make? Or do you think it was a case of Pioli really did get players that were kind of what he asked for and just chose not to use them and chose to rely on the same 13, 14 guys that gave him guarantees?
Yeah, I think Pioli showed his limitations, and Maldini expects more because he understands what a top manager is like, because he's played under like 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an aspect of that.
Pioli as well, with the pressure, comes pressure on himself as well. So when results aren't happening and he can't beat his small sides, he's not going to risk it and play these new players he doesn't trust or doesn't know. Despite us screaming for them, going, why isn't Adley getting a game? Why can't CDK start over Diaz? He's going to go with the devil he knows and the devil he doesn't know, because he's got a job himself. and he can't risk getting sacked as well. I'm not saying it's right, but he's doing the best for himself, not the best for the players that have been brought in by Maldini, which then makes Maldini look bad, because then that makes those transfers look like bust. At the same time, yes, they could be doing better as players, but we all know these are young players. They take time to grow. It's there's faults on both fronts here, but Pioli's ultimately looking after himself. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him, but at the same time, doesn't make it right.
I honestly thought I wasn't surprised when I saw the report saying that Pioli was considering his future, because the guy that had fought his corner on multiple occasions had gone. You know, Maldini was the one who appointed Pioli. He backed him when the fans protested. Pioli outtrended before he'd even managed a game for us. He backed him when it looked like Ralf Rangnick was going to come in and become the new head coach and sporting director, whatever. He backed him to the extent of giving him a renewal until 2025, midway through the season. It was Halloween when that was made official. Mm-hmm. He fought his corner on so many occasions, and I thought that with him gone, Pioli might not only feel a bit more exposed to the elements in terms of, oh my God, if he can go, I'm on the chopping block as well. But just out of principle, to be like, you know, that's not right. We had something good going on. But the fact that he's staying makes me think he thinks he can continue under these new conditions, you know, which might be a sign in itself that things weren't great before.
That's a positive way to look at it, and that's hopefully the case.
I am playing devil's advocate slightly.
Yeah, I can tell. I've got to shoot, so thank you so much, guys. Pleasure,
mate.
Jerry.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All the best.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, and I think that we're purely... Look, I don't want to. I've got issues all round, like Maldini with the signings, Jerry with the money, Pioli with the tactics and the integration of the new players. I think right now the only positive we can see with Pioli staying is that he's hopefully the glue that keeps the players who are here still wanting to be here. Mm-hmm. If there was a complete overhaul, I guarantee that a lot of those players are handing transfer requests in.
But. Yeah, we come to the present moment on what the future holds, really. Squad may be disillusioned. You know, some of the social media posts have suggested that there's some, I guess, bafflement about what's going on, and perhaps they were as shocked as we all were. They're unlikely to have been told what was about to happen by the upper management, of course. There's a big void to fill. The club have officially announced that there's now basically going to be like a management group that takes over the responsibilities that Maldini and Massara leave behind. My personal worry about that is that Giorgio Forlani is a CEO for all his corporate expertise, and for all that he might have done in helping with Liao's renewal, he has still never negotiated a football transfer in his entire life. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't actually come from a football background, if we're being brutally honest. Jeffrey Moncada, for all he's a visionary, for all he's great with numbers, player evaluation, scouting, has also never negotiated a transfer in his life. Or certainly not at this level. I'm unfamiliar. He might have been a youth director or something before, but certainly not at this level. We no longer have a qualified sporting director. That's why I'm surprised that we're not looking at an external hire. You know, I think Iglitar is available. Yeah. I'm not saying he'd be a good
Billy
option.
Billy Bean.
If he comes up one more time. yeah, I'm surprised about that, because you really are leaving it to hands that have not yet proven themselves to be capable. You know, this is quite a big risk, in my opinion. Great that they have trust in these two guys. We did an interview with Ricardo Silva, who's an investor in the club, minority shareholder. And he said that Forlani is, in his opinion, top three football executive in the world. I mean, I guess he's met a few. He's the Miami owner. But we don't.
He's not going to say otherwise, though.
No, you're right. He's not. And we know that Moncada's regarded as a visionary and as one of the top scouts in the world. That is a different thing to completely running a transfer campaign on your own. I'm worried. I don't know about you two.
Listen, I don't think that this just happened on a whim, right? Like, the executives clearly came to a decision. I don't think Jerry would have done this by himself, because it's a huge PR disaster for the club. And if he just did this on his own, the other executives would be pissed off. news would be linking about how, you know, it went down between them, you know. And so, like, there's a plan. We may not like the plan. We may not know the plan. But this was all, you know, like, this was all planned all along. So he just wants his people in charge. Like Lorenzo said, it could be an ego thing. Jerry wants to be the guy. He doesn't want Maldini to be the guy. It could come down to that as well. Like,
has he shown his face enough to be the guy? He will never be the guy as long as he's in Italy once a year, you know?
Yeah. It also kind of bugged me that he didn't go down on the field for Zlatan's send off. Like, even though you don't know the guy, like, you're the face, like, you're the owner.
Well, and stand next to the guy that he's about to fire the next day.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
That would have made for an interesting photo.
The ambition, yeah. The hope that, my laptop's just locked. The hope that this all resolves itself and stays in a good scenario is based off a few things we're hearing. Okay, he's going to get more involved with the club. Moncada's got great scouting, which we know, and then he's going to have more involvement with the signings, which, we don't know quite if the scouting that he was doing was being listened to by Maldini completely, and then Maldini went in with his own targets. There's this whole, like, Arnautovic versus sort of, like, Turan thing, which is a great point as well. But at the same time, let's see if that converts itself into a signing. We know Turan won't come in, but let's say, like, an equivalent of him, as opposed to an Arnautovic, we all know will be a better signing. But, like, I don't know. We're hearing things that, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. We only know what we had. And we had a guy who could get deals closed off, or players who could make negotiations quite complicated with the restricted budget that we had. So, like, CDK saying no to Leeds because he wanted Milan, because Maldini was there to get that across the line, fly over to Belgium to speak to the player and sell him about the project and the club.
Champions League versus relegation battle is also a pull, you know? We need to bear that in mind.
The guy was going to earn more money, wages, than Leeds than he probably was. So there's twos and froms with that. But he's probably buying in as an additional factor because Maldini's going over there to negotiate. We know that was the case for Teo Hernandez. We know that was the case for Ricardo Tomori. When they hear the phone call and they get Maldini on the other end, they listen and they actually buy in. We've lost that. And Moncada isn't that. Fellaini isn't that. I'm just saying, like, I can't see why we had that and we had Fellaini, we had Moncada, why they all just couldn't coexist and continue with a trajectory. But that obviously, the deeper question with ambition and Jerry, and it's come to a close with the ego question, but that's the disappointing element. Mm-hmm. And we now go into a market where I'm going to be very critical of the outcome of this summer market, regardless of the spending that guy has.
Now, there's no, absolutely zero margin for error now. This has to be the best window in the last 10 years. Like, no joke.
Because it's not even just fan impact, it's player impact.
Yeah.
It's all I'm going to be thinking at the end of that market is if we sign some bug ass players, that all those players who have bought in are gonna, you know, they're ticking the time down for the contract to expire or waiting for a transfer request. I won't enjoy watching the football much more. I know things can change with results, but it's like, I don't know. It's just
less overall faith in what's going on. And also, if you remove sort of the office duties that Maldini and Massara did, and you think about the bond that they had with the team, I think we've lost a really charismatic figure as well. And on the subject of the future and moving forward, I think it would be naive to presume we don't need to replace that. You know, is Pioli going to be the only guy who has to keep the squad together? Is there going to be no one? I mean, a few sources have already mentioned the idea of Ibra coming back and being like a first team manager, you know, overseeing the training and working on mentoring certain players, which, as far as we know, he's been doing already. Do we need someone like that just to kind of be that link as well between the playing squad, the coaching staff, and the upper management? Because it can seem pretty faceless if not. Is Fellaini going to be knocking around at training sessions, watching on after what's happened? It'd be a bold move.
You've lost years of relationships built now. And let's also strip it back. We've lost the CEO, Gazidis, has gone in December. Ibrahimovic, the leader of this changing room, these players, has gone. It's up to Sunday. And we've lost the sporting and the technical director. you know, these people have been in the club for, you know, what is it, 3 to 5 years now, with heritage, with experience, with relationships with a lot of these players and the staff. These are now being replaced with people that, you know, have a little bit of a relationship with these players, but ultimately isn't trust there or the rapport that they have with these players to get the, probably the best out of them. So we might also see an impact on the pitch with these players. Are they enjoying the football that they play? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, like, purely, like, as much as I pissed off him this season, good that we're keeping him, because if he goes as well, you don't lose your coach and you add that to the equation. Does Rafa plays that? How Rafa plays? Does Teo plays? How Teo plays? Let alone the fact that they might put a request. If they stay, you still get the same output. And there's a psychological impact to players. These players are not machines who are just going to take shit news or shit decisions and then expect it to deliver results. Yes, they are, in the sense that they're getting paid money, but there's a psychological factor. Imagine if you're at work and your boss got sacked and the boss of Ivan got sacked. You're going to be a bit like, oh, what the hell's going on here? Should I give my best output? Because am I next? You know, does this company show any ambition? The same mm-hmm. goes through their minds as well. So I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that the players are shocked right now, right? We're all shocked.
Yeah.
The players that Maldini just renewed, maybe a little bit more so. I will say Mike's post was the most concerning with a little question mark on it. I was like, oh, shit, where's he going?
Why are people getting pissed off with that, though? Like, oh, act professional. No, I know some people get pissed off. Oh, act professional. Why are you going? We're only saying that as fans because we're concerned. But, like, they're fans of the club. They want what's best for the club as well, these players. Right. They fucking play for it. And I know Mike plays for it as well. These are guys screaming, like, come on, Milan, before a game and shit like that. Like, you want to critique this guy for showing some spirit and, like, yes, it doesn't help us because it makes us concerned.
Steph, they're robots, man. They're not humans. They're not allowed to have emotions.
Yeah. Don't have emotions and don't worry about the one guy who brought you in, extended your contract, like, going and, like, and then this guy's taken over the club, like, what, 7 months ago. Like, Christ, man. Like, people need to wake up and smell the fucking coffee. Like, I'm concerned with that post, but fucking right, he's validated to do it. Because I would do the exact same thing if I was a player.
You know, but again, we have to see what the next 3 months hold. I don't think that we're going to see a mass exodus of our best players.
No, I don't. But I'm just, it's like an unnecessary dent that
it is.
We have to now worry about this. Like, you can sit here and say, oh, a lot of people are waking me up when August 31st kicks in. But I was going into this summer after a negative season, which we got a get out of jail card because Juventus got the points deduction. And it was like, now let's wake up, address the issues, build on this squad with a hopeful summer. Now it's like, I've got to watch out for transfer news because so-and-so might be linked, blah, 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 and they put a transfer request in, let alone the money we're going to fucking spend, which is...
Yeah.
So either we might sell one of these star players, and because of the model that we're now going to operate under, we might not spend to replace them. You know, there is a lot of fear, and I understand it all. I want to do some questions before we wrap this up. We've tried to cover as many bases as we have with this, and join in the discussion in the comment section and stuff, because we'd love to hear what you think. Michael Gambino asks, if Pioli now has a bigger say in transfers, do you think he'll still push for players like Milinkovic-Savic, regardless of the views of the ownership? Interesting in it, because Pioli, if he's been given a bigger say in the summer transfer window, what if those signings that he wants do not align with the vision of the ownership? Does he then get told no and he gets pissed off? What if he wants Berardi? What if he's like, I'm not saying, just as an example, what if he says, no, we need a right winger, Berardi's the guy, trust me, double digits goals and assists every season, he's the guy, and the ownership are like, he's 28 and he's going to cost us 30 mil, you're not having him. And then they bring in some kid from the Norwegian league. Like, could we just be in a vicious cycle of, like, nobody's aligned anymore?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, the coach, like, this comes from a time of, I mean, like, Arsene Wenger, where he used to, like, control, like, the market strategy and do both. And it's common knowledge. It's been how it is. Like, Galliani used to do it. He'd buy the players. The coach has got to play them. Obviously, the more alignment you can have between the two, that's great. But when there's a budget restriction and a template to signing players between a certain age group, and they're not aligned and he's not going to play those players, like, Pioli's say doesn't mean shit, in my opinion. Not to say it should mean shit. It should mean shit. Like, I mean, you might have an idea of plays he wants to sign. If he wants to sign SMS, then fucking great. I'm good for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, ultimately, yeah, I don't think he's... I think he's a yes man. I think he'll try, but ultimately it'll be Moncada's decision, which is good scouting, but it's also like, Christ, play these players then if he's gonna bring them in.
It's like he's either got more say or he hasn't, you know.
I don't think I want him to have more say because I don't think he's gonna be here at the end of next season.
That is a possibility as well. Like, are we gonna? What I want to know, and like, you know, lie detector test kind of thing. Sit Moncada down and be like, first of all, do you think Pioli is the guy to take this squad and this project forward? And if it buzzes, he doesn't. Secondly, do you have the name in mind that is already? Is this just going to be another intermediary season until we see the full reset carried out? You know, I personally don't know, because I think Pioli would go. If the management wanted him gone, he'd have gone by now.
Yeah.
Like, you get rid of Maldini, you can get rid of Pioli the same day and there's less collateral, you know. But no, that would be interesting to know. Alessandro asks, can any of this be seen as positive?
Yes.
If you want it to be.
I think one of the key positives is this uncompromising vision. You know, like, they have a plan that is so firm that not even Maldini can stand in the way of it. And they are willing to take the PR hit because they really believe in what they're doing. That's probably the positive, the biggest one that I take from it. Like, they really, really believe in this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fine. Fair enough. But like...
But we need to see something
to
also believe in it, you know?
Yeah. It's just a wider piece there. Look, Christ, I watched that last game of the season. Giroud's got a penalty and that ball gets, like, put to auction because of this Socho's link that we have. Like, I'm not up. Like, who the fuck has been in, like, money for some 30 or 80-year-old to score a penalty?
Like, I actually won that. I paid £4 for it.
£4, yeah. like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know, man. I've got higher hopes for this club. I'm humble, but Christ, I've got higher hopes than this project.
Mojo Jojo, brilliant name, asked this, and I think it's important to explain as part of this because his name has been mentioned. Who is Billy Beane and how involved will he be? So who is Billy Beane, for those who have no idea who this guy is? He's basically known as the guy who revolutionized the sport of baseball. He was a failed player. He got hired as basically the head of recruitment, general manager, they call it, of the Oakland Athletics, who at that time had no money to spend at all. And he wanted to prove that even though they might lose big players and they might not be able to compete on a payroll point of view, he could go out and find undervalued assets and he could replace players in the aggregate. Football's a bit different because baseball's a really linear sport. You know, it's one-on-one battles and whatnot. But he did it. He succeeded. He got this Oakland team, lowest payroll in the league, into the playoffs. They never won anything, but the model was then used by the Boston Red Sox, who broke their curse and won the World Series. Sabermetrics, they call it. It's worth a look. I don't think there's much... I don't think it's as far away from football as what people make out, because the way that the MLB operates is that it doesn't have a hard salary cap. It has a cap and then there's a luxury tax. So basically teams can spend as much as they want. The Yankees, the biggest organization in the sport, spend way and above what anyone else does. Football is like that. You've got your elite teams that can spend shitloads more than what we can. So what he's saying is, I know that this isn't a level playing field, but I can help create a bit of parity by seeing value where others don't. How involved he's actually going to be, I don't know. I'm just saying, watch this space, I guess.
I like the idea of it. I think, like, the idea of buying players based on their stats who produce X amount, you know, instead of having, like, one Liao makes sense, right? But doing so with a budget and holding yourself to a wage standard when no one else has a wage standard is competitive suicide. What are you doing? Are you trying to be like, hey, we're the good guys, everyone else should do this? Like, no, there's a difference between when Americans buy sports soccer teams, football teams, and when other people buy them. Mm-hmm. Americans buy them to make money, except for the Chelsea owner. He's a rare breed. When other ethnicities, I'll say, buy football teams, they want to win because they know what it means, right? Americans don't know what it means. They see the marketing opportunity to the United States because people here are hungry as hell for European soccer. And it just doesn't, you know, I love this country. I love capitalism, but like, y'all, leave it to the Europeans. All right.
Those are valid firsthand concerns from an American. There has been a lot of anti-American stuff, you know, and it is right to address that.
We saved your butts in back-to-back world wars, so you're welcome.
Not Italy.
I don't know, man.
Not Italy. No. We beat you in back-to-back world wars.
That's why Maldini got sacked. Jerry was like, we fucking invaded Sicily.
And do you know what? Like, Americans and Italians might be the two most stubborn groups of people in the world. So maybe this was always destined to happen. Who knows? Especially when you throw in a supposed Italian-American to then be like, hey.
No, Italo-Americano. Fucking get out of here, man.
All right, last one. Which big name, if any, will be the first to go after Maldini's departure?
Coin toss, Liao or Mike?
I'm going to stick my balls on the line and say I'm very confident it will be Teo Hernandez.
I am very confident it will be Teo Hernandez as well.
He's just lost his guy, man.
Also,
he said he hopes to be reunited with him one day. Like,
I love Teo, right? But like, he's replaceable. Like, he is the best left back in the world, right? But like,
so you're basically admitting you're going to get worse whoever you're replacing with.
Here's the thing. You can't get better, right? And you can get worse, but like, you can get someone who's on par with defense, but not have what he offers on offense and will still be just fine.
He actually hasn't had that great season from an attacking point of view. His numbers were down, but yeah, he's an elite player in his position. It's not easy to think about replacing
him. He's like a very hybrid left back. Right.
Yeah, there's not many.
Yeah, but like, our offense runs through. Like, I don't know, man. You win games by scoring goals. Like, we lost the way we're playing. We lose Rafa or Teo. We ain't winning games of football. Like, I'm not saying this.
Rafa, we're not winning games.
Yeah, no, yeah. Because
we didn't win.
I've sat Teo into the equation as well as like the second most, you know, contributing factor to our success of scoring goals. But like, Mike, and I fucking love Mike, and we know with the gap between him and Tata, but we saw it with Donna as well. Like, yeah, we lucked out by getting Mike, but like, I don't want to lose Mike. I just want to make it very clear before I get attacked here. But like, we could get, like, if Mike goes, we could sign the guy from Empoli, for example. Well, what's his name?
Vicario.
Yeah. And I'd be like, you know what? Like, he's a solid replacement. He's not one of the best in the world like Mike, but same as when we lost Juju, I was like, you know what? It's a goalkeeper.
You're only as good as the defense in front of you to an extent as well. Exactly. Yeah.
And like, you know, like, I don't know. It's obviously Mike's more than just a keeper. His distribution's incredible. Composure, his leadership. But
it is worth noting that is a big part of the Moneyball model as well. Is when you lose a big player, you break that sum down and make other areas better. You know, it'd be interesting to see if that were to happen. But let's just hope that everyone stays together because that would be reassuring for us as well.
The model's bullshit, man. Like, it just doesn't relate to football. And it, like, stats, like this whole XG, I've never been like XG, XP, like, Jesus, what? Man. Like,
what are your non-penalty expected goals and assists?
Expected
combined?
Points. Like, what is this crap, man? I'm not reading into that because it's just too many variables in football. It doesn't, like, none of this means nothing. It means nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not that deep with stats. It's not that deep because you can have the stats like a CDK and how we smashed it in Belgium, but it comes to a different country down the pan because up here does not relate to the stats psychologically. That's why you got like.
That's
England.
Not just a football thing. That's a sports thing.
Baseball lends itself because of how linear it is, though.
Mm.
You know, it's like you've got a right hand, left hand pitcher, left arm batter, like different pitch. Like, it's all very programmed. You know, it all happens within a straight line, pretty much. Football is very different. Very different.
Like, the general idea of it, right, is still like the same concept. You want your left wing and your right wing to take X amount of shots per game, have X amount of passes completed in your midfield, you know, dribbles broken up with your defense, you know.
There's still targets to hit.
You know, and like if your left back makes 10, you want your center back to make 8. I don't know.
No, but it's,
like, you want it to be like cohesive, so you're not depending on Rafa to do everything.
That point.
No, I agree, but it's also like baseball was like you can't have formations, I'm pretty sure. Like
basketball. Maybe you do.
I know absolutely nothing about baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crap. No offense. I'm sorry if I've offended anyone, but it's a crap sport. I love NBA. I love NBA, but there's only 5 players on, you know, on the court at one time, and you can have, you know, you can maybe not play a center, you can play another power forward, but ultimately it's still going to be the same output because it's a condensed pitch, like a condensed court. Football, you can play like, you know, back 3, you know, back 4, back 5, you know, whatever. There's just so many variables, and that will impact the player's performance because are they in their natural position to give the best output, and the players around them will have an impact. So there's XG and X fucking, oh Christ, I don't even want to talk about it, man. But yeah, Billy Bean can suck my Billy Bean. Jesus.
Clipping that. We'll wrap it up there. We've been going for over an hour. Thank you to everybody who stuck with it for this long. We appreciate that we've gone off the normal schedule a bit, but we just felt like we needed to address this while the embers were still hot and while we were all still fired up about it. Really appreciate everyone who's made it this far, and let us know your thoughts in the comments, because I've never seen our comments section on the website anything like this. You know, we had over 300 comments on the statement about Maldini leaving. Like, everybody's got something to say about this, and we want to hear it, because the more viewpoints that are out there, the better. But yeah, I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. Find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher. Maddie, cheers for joining.
Yeah, as always, it's good to be here. I think this is a record number of pods I've made in a week, and AJ's only made max 2. So Madison 1, AJ 0.
That might be your new spot.
Hey, AJ's in the pod.
Steph, cheers for joining. Great to have you back on.
Always a pleasure.
And we have Lorenzo.
I can tell
as well.
By just the excitement in your voice that you're just so happy to be
always
here.
Always a pleasure. Never.
No, I'm happy to talk because I need to vent somewhere. But yeah.
Go home, have a few cans of Stella and start punching stuff around, mate. That's always.
We had a bloody can here, actually. Yeah, but, yeah.
Straight in the office. Classy. I want to live in England, man, if that's how you guys do it over there.
I'd say sack me, but that's too soon, I guess.
Yeah. Sacks and beans, eh? Thank you for listening, everybody. We will catch you next Monday for a normal episode. So yeah, see you then.
Ante, ecco l'anteante in area di rigore, ante, Ibra, gol! Vediamo se è buono, ce l'ho da buono.